2017 was a very big year for superhero movies. That particular genre ended up becoming hits 5 out of the 10 major movies at the box office, and they generated some $6 billion in revenue. It's a big year. But they're projecting, and you probably know because you've seen all the movies that are out there, but they're projecting that 2018 is going to be even bigger than 2017. Now, as we've said, the theme for our VBS was shipwrecked, and it was about how God rescues us. And on Thursday, since I taught the lessons, I played the role of shipwrecked Willie every day and taught the Bible lessons. And on Thursday, I talked about some different things, and I held up some pictures, and I asked the children if they could tell me who these people were. And I held this one up, and they all screamed, "Batman!" And then I held this one up, and they all hollered, "Superman!" And then I picked this one up, and of course they all cried out, "Spider-Man!" And then I went through several others, and there were a couple of them they didn't actually know. And then I got to the last one, and I lifted it up and held it up, and they all screamed, "Jesus!" And then I went on and told the lesson about how God rescues us, and God is sort of like a superhero. And then we had a group prayer and finished the lesson, and then the kids took off, and they went to all of their other activities, the crafts and the games and so forth. But this one little boy, and I don't know his name, but this little fella came up to me. I'm standing there at the microphone. The kids have all gone. And he looks at me with a serious look on his face, and he said, "Those superheroes are not real. Jesus is our only real hero." I was shocked that that little fellow had so much knowledge. And then he ran off to go do one of his activities. But what he said is absolutely true. Jesus is our only real superhero, and he's the one I want to talk about today. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for children and the things they say and do that amaze us and enlighten us and even teach us. And we thank you for that little boy and his wisdom. Help us to understand the power that Jesus has, just as that little fellow understands it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, most of us here today grew up with Superman as our main comic book hero. And we are probably all familiar with the statement about Superman in that original black and white television show that came out. He is faster than a speeding bullet, he's more powerful than a locomotive, and he can leap over tall buildings with a single bound. We've all heard that. Well, even as adults, we have a tendency to gravitate toward superheroes, because all of us have a need for faith and strength and hope and courage. And sometimes the superheroes that we encounter in our lives help us to experience that. Now, most of us remember Audie Murphy. He was the most decorated soldier in World War II, and he brought courage and strength to all of us. Most of us remember General Norman Schwarzkopf. He was the commander of probably one of the most successful battles of all time, the Battle of Desert Storm in 1991. It only lasted 100 hours. What a hero. And of course, many of you may not remember this name, but a man by the name of Rick Riscorla, he brought 2,687 people out of the South Tower on September 11, 2001, and saved their lives. And he went back in one more time, and as he was making his way up the stairs, his wife called him on the cell phone, and she was crying, and she said, "Please don't do this anymore." He said, "Please don't cry. I have to help these people get out of this building." And he made it to the 10th floor, and the South Tower collapsed. Well, that was a sad story, but he was a great hero, and his courage encourages all of us. And though it's natural for us to sort of gravitate toward some of these superheroes, the one that we should be drawn to more than any other, of course, is Jesus. Jesus has the power to rescue us, to save us, and to help us no matter how unsettling our world becomes. In 1948, a theologian by the name of A.W. Tozier wrote a book entitled The Pursuit of God. Flynn's nodding his head. He's probably read that book before. He has a wonderful quote that I want to share with you from his book. He says this: "This book is a modest attempt to aid God's hungry children to find him. Nothing here in this book is new except in the sense that it is a discovery of my own heart, what my own heart has made of spiritual realities most delightful and wonderful to me." And he says, for instance, Psalm 63:8 reads, "My soul followeth hard after thee." What a great psalm. Tozier says, "We pursue God because, and only because, he has first put an urge within us that spurs us to the pursuit. This impulse to pursue God originates with God, but the outworking of that impulse is our following hard after him, as Psalm 63 teaches." Now, in our New Testament lesson from Matthew 28, it's the familiar story of the resurrection, and the women were following hard after Jesus. They went to the tomb, as you know, to anoint the body. When they got there, the tomb was empty, and an angel appeared, and the angel said something amazing. Now, there are two short phrases in this resurrection story that help us to understand the power, the superpower that Jesus has. The angel told the women, "He is not here, he has risen," and then he said, "just as he told you." Now, most of us read over those words and we just ignore them and go on. But those words are profound. "Just as he said," just as Jesus said. What does that tell us? It tells us that what Jesus was accomplishing for us was part of a great plan. The plan of God to bring salvation into the world and to rescue us. God is a God of plans. And Jesus was part of his great plan. Now, Jesus had told the disciples before he died that he was going to die and be raised again. But the disciples didn't get it. He told them on more than one occasion that he was going to be killed, but he would come back to life. But again, the disciples just didn't understand. He told them another time, he said, "I'm even going to be crucified." And the disciples just continued to be perplexed about it. Now, knowing that Jesus fulfilled God's plan, his great plan to bring salvation to the world by dying on the cross, ought to bring comfort and excitement and great meaning to all of us today. But sometimes, like the disciples, we just don't get it. Now, through the prophet Jeremiah, God spoke to the Israelite people and said these words: "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a great future." And then in Romans chapter 8, God said the exact same thing through the Apostle Paul in that chapter when he said this: "All plans work for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to God's purposes." Now, those verses speak to all of us. And what they say is that God has plans for each and every one of us. So the question is that we must all consider for ourselves is, what is God's plan for my life? Now, I imagine that Tia Coleman is wondering about that question right now. Tia Coleman was on one of the duck boats that sank on the Table Rock Lake outside of Branson, Missouri. 9 of her family members were on that boat with her, and they perished. She was under the water. She was drowning. It was very chaotic. She was struggling, and she started praying under the water, "Jesus, let me die. Oh, Lord, please just let me die." And then she just quit struggling. She quit fighting. She just relaxed, thinking she was going to drown. And all of a sudden, her body floated to the surface, and there was a boat right there, and she was rescued. Now, it's sad and unfortunate that 9 of her family members died, but she is probably wondering right now, why am I here? What is the plan that God has for my life? And it's something that we should all consider. I had a conversation with someone this week, and I told this person, I said, you know, God has something He wants to do through you that He cannot do through anyone else. And that statement applies to all of us. God has something He wants to do through each one of you that He cannot do through anyone else. What is that? Pursuing God, as A.W. Tozer said, is always looking and seeking and wondering, what is our purpose? What does God want to do through us that He can't do through anyone else? Well, that leads us to the second little phrase that's in Matthew 28. It's found in verse 10. The women saw the angel. The angel said, go back and tell the disciples. They left, and then Jesus revealed Himself to them. They fell down to His feet, and then He told them, He said these words. He said, do not be afraid. Now again, we read those words, we've read them 1,000 times, and they just sort of go in one ear and out the other. But they're profound words. We are afraid of so many things that we simply do not need to be afraid of. We're worried about way too much. One of the other lessons that I taught the children at VBS was the story of Martha and Mary. And I held up this picture, and I asked them who these people were in the picture. And they didn't really know. They knew Jesus, but they didn't know the others. And I said, well, this is Mary here, and that's Martha back there. And they had invited Jesus to come and have dinner at their home. And Martha was busy, as you can see. She's kneading the dough, and she looks stressed. She's worried. She's frantic, trying to get everything ready. And it was much more difficult to prepare a meal back then than it is today. You pop it in the microwave. They didn't have any of that then. Had to build a fire, had to prepare it, everything. And she was frustrated because Mary's just sitting there listening to Jesus as he's talking to her, teaching her, sharing his wisdom. And she finally pipes up and says, Jesus, I want you to tell my sister to come over here and help me. I need her help. And then Jesus said these profound words. He said, Martha, Martha, you are Merimnas kai terbaza, which is Greek for you are worried and upset about too many things. Mary has found what is best, and it will not be taken from her. And in essence, he was saying to Martha, Martha, please just relax. Focus on me. Listen to me. Learn from me, and everything will be okay. Now, we're all a lot like Martha. We worry about things we shouldn't worry about. We make a big deal about things that shouldn't be a big deal. All of us need to pursue Christ and focus on Him more than we're doing. Another lesson that I presented to the children was the story of Jesus going to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know the story well. The word Gethsemane is a word that means oil press. And the Garden of Gethsemane is found on the Mount of Olives, on the lower part of the mountain. It's a beautiful grove of olive trees, and they're back in his day, there were olive presses, these huge devices that they would turn with rods and squeeze down on the olives and squeeze out the oil, and then they would sell the oil. In the evening, it was a great place, a quiet place, a comforting place. And Jesus went there with the disciples to pray. The main group of the disciples were off in one area. He took Peter, James, and John into the garden and said, "Stay here and pray." And then he went further into the garden and he prayed with great anguish. And he said those famous words, "Oh Lord, please let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." And he continued to pray. The disciples continued to sleep. He continued to wake them up and pray. And finally, he got to the point where he finished his time of prayer and he realized that he would have to go through with the plan that God has established from the beginning of time. The plan for him to die for all of us and take on himself all of our sins that we could be forgiven and saved and rescued. And so he finally agreed to do that and to conquer the power of sin and death in the world. Now what he did was the hardest thing that ever was done, the greatest pain that ever was known, the biggest battle that ever was won. Now when I was doing some research on Gethsemane, this YouTube video popped up. And it was a video of a little 3-year-old girl by the name of Claire Ryan. And she is singing this song I'd never heard before, but it's a song called Gethsemane. She is as cute is. She is absolutely precious. And what she sings is not just precious, but it's absolutely profound. You have the words to the song in your bulletin. They were passed out earlier. And I'm going to show you the video, and I want you to watch it, but I want you to look at the words, because it's a little hard to understand what she says. But again, her singing is so precious, it will touch your heart and bless you. Watch this.
Jesus climbs the hill to the garden still. His steps were heavy and slow. Love and a prayer took him there to the place only he could go. Gethsemane. Jesus loves me. So he went willingly to Gethsemane. He felt all that was said, wicked or bad, while the pain we would ever know. While his friends were asleep, he thought to keep his promise made long ago. Gethsemane, Jesus loved me, so he went willingly to Gethsemane. The hardest thing that ever was done, the greatest pain that ever was known, the biggest battle that ever was won, this was done by Jesus. The fight was won by Jesus. Gethsemane, Jesus loves me, so he gives his gift to me in Gethsemane. Gethsemane, Jesus loves me, so he gives his gift to me.
I just love that little girl. She's precious. Did you hear what she said in that song? The gift that Jesus gave to us was the gift of love. He died on the cross because of love. What does that say to us? It says that whatever is troubling you, give it to Jesus. Whatever is causing stress in your life, cast it upon Jesus. Whatever is creating anxiety for you right now, let it go, because only Jesus has the power to handle it, the superpower to deal with it. Romans chapter 8 tells us nothing, absolutely nothing, in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that we find in Christ Jesus. If we were to paraphrase what A.W. Tozier said, we might paraphrase it in this way. May your soul followeth hard after Jesus, for only He can be our real superhero. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.